through and say, do you really want that in your life? Do you really want to taste all the consequences that I have? And that's just mine. I can show you people that have died. We don't know who all God has killed for violating his purposes, because when people have a heart attack, we think it's natural causes. But in 1 Samuel 25, when that man was messing with David and he wanted to go and start something, God killed him, didn't he? Gave him a heart attack, right? Mm-hmm. But then when, and the Bible said the Lord smote him. Now, I understand there are things we've done that God can forgive us, but we ought not be making those things again. Those of us who have remarried, and if there's a consequence that God's going to deal with us on, we better think twice about trying to go and break up again and get somebody else because we angry, because we get PO'd, because we don't like the way they talk. You better make sure the grounds of what God say, because I'm trying to shine the light on the truth. It doesn't matter what we say. It's God's standard. It's in the nature of what one is and in his purpose. His purpose is he want godly seed. He don't want boys growing up, nobody teaching them the truth. He don't want girls growing up, nobody teaching them the truth. And they being out here naked, being used, and boys running through them like they run through wet toilet paper. You know what boys do with wet toilet paper? I see it. They leave it alone and get some more. It don't even get used. When a girl get used up so bad, sometimes the boys don't want nothing to do with her. Am I right? And some girls that you all know don't nobody want no more. She through. Just through. Lord have mercy. And let me get back to this meat of this text. Verse number 10. Well, his disciples said, if this be the case of the man so with his wife, it is good not to marry. That scripture right there, saints, let you know how they heard it. Mm-hmm. They heard it as if, you mean to tell me that we're going to be stuck with this woman forever? No matter what, you mean to tell me, if she don't cook for me, if she don't clean, if she nasty, if she got too much mouth, if she lazy, as long as she don't go out there and slut around, as long as she don't go mess around, we can't give her a bill of divorcement. Jesus, we think it'd be better for us not to marry. We just stay single. And we got to be stuck with her. And you saying the standard... See, because you remember that these are Jews. They knew that God, Adam had Eve about 900 years. We don't know when she died. That's what I'm saying about, because somebody could say, Tim, we know Adam lived to be 950, but they don't say how long Eve lived. So Adam had her a long time. But it was designed to have her forever. You mean, Tim, we got the same one? Suppose I picked the wrong one. Suppose the one that I really liked was like when Jacob wanted Rachel and got Leah. The nature of one. The day that you're willing to cut yourself in half and let one half of you go one way and the other go the other way, that's when you can get divorced. You're willing to be separated. The nature of one. You want your hands with you when you go somewhere. You do. You might have to use the bathroom. You want your feet with you when you go somewhere. You might want to stand up. You're gonna separate from your wife. Jesus, like, that's ridiculous. And the purpose, again, is for the godly seed. And he says, verse 10, the disciples say it's good for him not to marry. But listen to what Jesus says. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save to whom it is given. 12, for there are some eunuchs which were so born of their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there are... And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. The word eunuch. This is a man that's usually have been castrated. That means dismembered. I don't know if every time it was dismembered, sometimes they may have whatever they do to the dog. But I think it's even more than that, because don't they neuter the dog, the male dogs? But this man has been made in a position where you don't have to worry about him laying up with your woman, because he's totally incapable of doing it, okay? He has been physically made impotent. And Jesus said there are some that are born that way. Now, when he says some that are born that way, that's what he means. Now, does he mean that they were born, that where they were going to be impotent, or they were born that way, they would have no desire? I don't know, but he said they were born that way. Well, some could say, well, I was born that way, I have no desire for a man, but I definitely desire to be a girl. I desire to be sweet. I desire to be precious. But the real issue in that is, if you were born that way, Jesus is saying that when an individual is born that way, he is not allowed to live his life any kind of way he wants to. This individual is born that way because when men have done what they did in the Garden of Eden, they brought sin into the world, the earth was cursed, and just like somebody can be born impotent or born a eunuch, somebody's born blind, somebody is born deaf, somebody is born with a lame foot, some people are born with six fingers and six toes. So just because something going wrong with your genitalia, that has nothing to do with you. You're special. There are all kinds of problems in the human bodies because of what man has done. So don't go telling me you got something inside of you that you were born to be wicked. Because this is what this passage is not even talking about that. What the passage is actually talking about is when a person is born to be a eunuch like that, that person can serve God better. That's what the passage is really talking about. But if you want to extrapolate it and say, it didn't say that they were born like that to serve God. I just want to cover my bases. That that's not the only kind of thing that somebody's born with. I've seen people born and didn't even have a whole body. They call them co-joined twins. There'll be one that has a whole body and another just have a piece of it. So what are you going to say on that? Don't just think because you got an issue, you so special in life. Other people have issues. Some people are born with cerebral palsy. So they just go and be mean and evil. You think that if anybody would have an excuse, shouldn't they have one? Not right now. All right, get off that soapbox and come back to the Word of God. Verse number 11 says, but he said, all men cannot receive this saying. What they're saying, all men can't receive the saying to be married like that forever. And they said that they should not marry. All men cannot do that. But when he said there are some eunuchs that were made that way of men, the kings would do that. But there are some for the kingdom of heaven. They may not castrate themselves, but what they do is they don't bother with the women. They meditate. They keep themselves in God's word. Like Paul said, I can have a wife. I can lead about a woman like Cephas. But I'm busy for God. And he said, I wish that all you all could be like me, but all of you all have your perfect gift. Because, see, if he were to say all of you should be like me, then he'd be violating God's standard where he told the men and women to multiply and fill the earth. But some of you don't need to marry. Some of you are not going to be fit to marry. Some of you are not fit to lead. Some of you are not fit to be a husband. Some of you are not fit to be a father. But you could do some work for the kingdom. So if you don't take that responsibility on yourself with your irresponsible self, you might be able to do something that God can have you to do and be a benefit to others. Everybody can't be a daddy. If you can't handle money, don't go making babies. Please, if you don't like to work, don't go making babies. Please, if you're selfish, don't go marrying a woman. Please, because she's going to get some of what you have. If not, you a fool. You're going to let a woman see that you don't know how to lead. Go let her see you don't know how to take care of her. Go let her see that you don't know how to be a man, and you're going to feel good about yourself? That's foolish. If I were to find out right now I'm stinking, I would not let anybody get around me. And I would go back there and I would get cleaned up before somebody else knew it. I know that sounds funny, but I'm sure that there are some people sometimes they've been out doing something, working, say, I need to get in there and see about myself before somebody smell me. Has anybody else done that besides me? But then why is it then in real life? Why is it when it comes to who we are as people, we don't care who smell us? We got a stinking attitude. We got a stinking life. We got stinking habits. And we don't care who see it or smell us. We ought to have the same kind of care about our spiritual hygiene as we do our bodies. Read on, Tim. I think I will. Verse 13. Then on the last thing I want to say on it, this is a little ancillary note. Some people, some churches make men be celibate and say that's the way they enter the priesthood. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. Peter had a wife. Some of the other apostles had wives. That's just something that the Roman Catholic Church did. It is not biblical. It is not a mandate from God. Even God's high priest could have a wife because it told you where he had to get him from. It had to be one of Levi and it had to be a virgin. So even they could get married. And even Christ has a bride now. Let's don't play. But yet you're going to tell some group of men they can't get married. I want my sons to get married if they can handle business and responsibility. I want them to experience what God wants them to do, to get a chance to see what it's like to lead a son and to lead a wife and develop into what God's original purpose was for them. We don't develop fully until we get a chance to experience God's standard. Mom, have I not changed since I've been married and have children? Have I not matured even more? I was already a grown man, but everything was mine. It was mine. Everything was mine. Mine and the Lord. That's why I had a library. But there are things that I would not be able to experience that God wanted me to know. And I can smell when a man ain't doing right now. Because now I'm in the game. This young man right here play football. He can tell that quarterback is no good. It don't matter you got a pass completed. That don't mean you good. The receiver just might have happened to be in the wrong place, and you threw it at the wrong place, and he caught it. Consistency show when you're good. Bless God's everlasting name. Verse 14 says, when they were brought, this 13, I skipped it. Then they were brought to him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer, and that word again, allow little children, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. I just want you to see something. Do you see how, I think that the way this is written, it happened right at the same time. And can you see the women being happy with that kind of teaching? Can you just see that Jesus just elevated women right there more so than any other man in history up until that time? No other man in history had lifted women up to the place where you can't be thrown away like a piece of paper. No other man had lifted women up to the place that you were created at the same time and that you are equal with this man because you are one. No other man had lifted them up so much so that when their mind comes to it, we are one and our children are supposed to be God's children and God's blessing. And yes, we want our children blessed. He just elevated them. Somebody might have just got a bill of divorcement. Somebody's husband might have been talking about giving them a bill of divorcement. Some wife might just got put out. Some men might have been getting ready to do it. Maybe one of the disciples were upset. I mean, they the ones said it. It would have been if the Pharisees would have said it, you know. But some I read say that Jesus reiterated that to them again, and this is when it was said. I think not, because the women are here now. But he elevated them. And what did they do? Jesus got the husband and wife right, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Put the man in check, and when they... Bless our babies. Can you feel that? He just, in front of everybody, when they thought they had him, it's like, we got him now. If he say the wrong thing, we can tell Herod. Or we can say he went against Moses. Or we can at least put him between Hillel and Shammah. And he just messed them all up. And the women say, look at how he looks at us. And then it's validated. Even they knew what was in the scripture. We want you to bless our baby. They brought the baby. Let's have a whole back. And even they didn't have the idea. He even rebuked his disciples for them. And then he elevated the babies of these women. Said, except you be like these, you don't even enter the kingdom of heaven. What do you mean? This is such. These little children is not doing wrong. These little children that come up here and can get my blessings right now because there are no obstacles in their way. Tim, where do you get that from? Think about circumcision. When God demanded circumcision in Genesis chapter 17, the child was 8 days old. He couldn't refuse it. He was humble. He was pliable. He was willing to, whatever had to happen, he had to trust whoever brought him there. When we get to where we can trust God like that, we'll trust his standard. We'll trust the nature that he gave us of one, and we'll trust that his purpose need to be met in our life in order for us to have the fulfillment that we need. Bless his everlasting name. Now let's look back into the scripture and go to the next part. There's another section here. It says in verse number 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Drew, you want to read for me some? If not, I still want you to.
And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
If you will enter into life, what you say?
Keep the commandments.
If you will enter into life, what?
Keep the commandments.
Okay, now let's go and let's untangle this. A guy came up to him and said, good master. You know what folk call that? They call that flattery. Sometimes they call it blowing smoke up somebody's tailpipe. But let's give a man benefit of the doubt till we unravel it all the way. You've said all these good things. Good master. Good teacher. Good teacher. Good. What good thing can I do that I can inherit eternal? Just tell me what it is. I'm rich. I am bankrolling. I have, what Ashley call it, I have stacks on deck. I was reading it here. He had properties and lands and all of this. He is rich. And so he said, what good thing can I do, good master, that I might inherit eternal life? What Jesus say? Keep the commandments. What did he say? Why you call me good? What's your motive? That's one. Number two, do you really know what good is? Because if good is by your standard, I might be good. But if good is by my standard, you might not like me. So he says, why call me good? There's only one good, that is God. Now do you still want to call me good? There's only one good, and you call me good master. Are you calling me God, or are you just talking? There's only one good. And he never said, I'm not good. So he says, what God would say, keep the commandments. Read on. What did he say with his smart mouth?
He saith unto him, which?
Hey, like which one? You should, talk to me there. Which one? Greed.
Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder.
No murder, one commandment.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Two.
Thou shalt not steal.
Three.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Four.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Five.
And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Which really encapsulates the two tablets. There were two tablets when Moses came off the mountain. One had four commandments. One had six. Now, on the one that had six, it dealt with the murder, the stealing, the adultery, and bearing false witness. But you know which one Jesus left out on the other side? And honoring father and mother, coveting. But he hasn't mentioned not one on this other side. Where you have your honor for God, you have no other God before him. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's one other one in the fourth. I forgot what it is. Don't make any graven image of anything in the heaven below and the earth beneath. He left off every commandment that they had to deal with God. So when Jesus gave him those five, left off the one about coveting, but this is what you could normally see in a man. Do you understand what I'm saying? You could see if he was stealing. You could see if he was lying. You could see if he was bearing false witness that murdered somebody. You could see if he looked out for his mother and father. But could you see in his heart if he was coveting? Now, if he was greedy, you could see that. But if he had gotten his wealth the right way, you couldn't see that. But what did the man say after Jesus gave him those five?
The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up.
Look, man, I've been doing all this from my youth up, so I'm here now. You said keep the commandments. I've been doing it. So now can you give me the seal of approval? What did Jesus say after that?
Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast.
Now the Markan account and the Lucan account are the same thing. Mark has an account, I think, in the 10th chapter. Luke has an account of this in the 18th chapter. And And Jesus said, in that account, he says, if you'll be perfect, he said, you got one thing that you lack. Mm-hmm. And the man pops off, which? And then he gives that answer. Go and sell all that you have and what?
And give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me.
Notice he didn't say follow my daddy. You call me good. You say you want life. Sell everything you have and follow me. And what happened?
But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
So what happened is when the man heard that, he walked away from what he just called Jesus good. Now, if Jesus is good, and he's a good master and a good teacher, and you're interested in good, and he tells you the good thing to do, why didn't you do it? Because what your standard of good is not the standard of God. The standard of God is that I'm going to be paramount. I'm going to be the one on top. My standard and my nature is everything is going to be pointing to me. And my purpose is so that my godliness and my righteousness will fill the land. And your eyes are not on me. Your security is in your money, your wealth, and your security is that which you can see. Because you can pay your way out of stuff. You want your camel washed at the camel wash? You can pay somebody. You want a new pair of shoes? You can pay somebody to make it. You don't like your house? You can have somebody to build you another one. So you come up to me with all your stuff, because now in Mark and Luke, they say he was very rich. You're dripping. You could go to a mega church and they would give you a special chair, probably beside the pastor or at least on the front row. And Jesus let him walk away. Could you imagine him in an assembly of pastors today? Jesus, you messed that up. Do you understand? Do you understand who he was? He ain't never going to come back. You could have gave him the purpose-driven book in 40 days. Lord have mercy. And that's how you say it, Gary. You say, Lord have mercy. I believe it's Mark chapter 10 and 21 I want to look at. Just one verse. Listen to this verse right here. This is the same passage. I just want to read it. It says, then Jesus beholding him, the same thing, Jesus beholding him, loved him. Jesus beholding the rich man, it said, loved him, and said unto him, thou lackest one thing. Now here is the point that I want to make here. You understand how many people talking about how much God loves us and how God loves everybody? And I'm going to submit to you based on this passage right here. God's love is not enough to save you. I guess I better say it again because I ain't getting no kind of response. I'm saying Jesus looked at this man who did not have his mind set to give up everything to follow him. The love that Jesus had was not enough to save him, and it wasn't even enough to make the man come back. It said he loved him. But the man walked away sorrowfully. Dre, go on back to the passage.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Jesus said a rich man will not enter the kingdom of God. That's what that means. He just won't do it. A rich man will not enter into the kingdom of God. So if you're rich, be afraid. If you're rich, be scared. Is that what the pastor's saying, Tim? Yes, it is. But why is it saying it? Number one, I've read so many that talked about it being a gate of the city. I've read some that also said that the word for camel and the word for, camel and the word for cable are almost spelled the same in Greek. So as they try to make it where it's easier to put a cable through the eye of a needle. But I got books at home, and I got software, and I click on it, and that needle every time is a needle. I'm sorry for how many times I've read stuff and I listened to somebody else because I thought they knew. I got my own material now. One of them, the one in Luke, is the type of needle that they would use in surgery, that kind of needle. And the other needle is just regular sewing needle. And when Jesus said a rich man cannot enter, or it's hardly, and it's easy for a camel to go to an eye of a needle, it is. Now look at the context. This man's context is, I'm rich, and I want to know, one, what big grandiose thing can I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And it's not happening, Captain. That's what the little children say. It's not happening. You don't pay me to get into the kingdom. You don't flatter me with what you got to get into the kingdom. You want to get into the kingdom. The Bible says in the same passage, the things that are important, possible with man or possible with God. You want to see how a rich man can get into the kingdom? It's not by what he buys. It's not by what he has. But you go to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus goes up in the tree, a wealthy man. And when he sees Jesus coming, he wants to see Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and he repents. And everything that I've ever stolen, I'll pay it back times four. And I'll give half of what I have to the poor. Not all of it, just half. Show you that I'm willing to make a change. And Jesus said, salvation is at your house. What's the difference? When the rich man tries to enter the kingdom of heaven on his own strength or by his riches, God's going to reject him. But if the rich man does the Matthew chapter 5 and 3 and 4 thing, I'm not sure if it's 5 and 3 or 5 and 4, but he becomes poor. Not necessarily broke, but poor in spirit. Realize I have nothing. Not Whitney Houston song. I have nothing to give the Lord but myself. That man gets transposed into the kingdom of God by God's power. I want to submit something else to you. You can be poor and can't enter into the kingdom of heaven and be like a camel going through the eye of a needle. If you don't humble yourself, you cannot make yourself born again. It has to be done by God. You can't make yourself be born from above. And so Jesus lays that out there. But they had proverbs like that in Jerusalem anyway. They used to talk about an elephant going through the eye of a needle when they were talking about the impossibility of something. But then again, I think sometimes we forget. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And we weren't talking about riches then, were we? Dree, take us further on, please.
When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
That's the key. It's about God. God can do it. Read on, please.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Peter said, we've left everything and we followed you. What do we get? I mean, we're not out there fishing anymore. So what do we get? And Jesus said, those of you who have followed me in the regeneration, when this world is recreated, when I regenerate this thing and make it new, you're going to sit judging with me the 12 tribes. And I'm submitting to you that Judas was in that bunch and that he forfeited that. And those that say Judas was not saved, they don't understand the scripture. They don't understand it. Just like the Lord give, he can take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because God has strings on what he gives. And the strings of what he have on what he give is that you stay with me. You stay with me. My nature is one. You want to be one with me, nothing will ever be taken away from you. Stay with me and I stay with you. But if you want to walk away and leave me, I'm still going to be one. I'm still going to be one with my Son and the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be outside of the covenant. And so he forfeited that, but Jesus said that you will be with me in the regeneration, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And when we deal with eschatology, we'll deal with some more about the end times. Read some more of that, Dree.
And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Those of you that have followed me and given up something, I'll give you other brothers, I'll give you other sisters. I can multiply your houses. But we're talking metaphorically now. I'm not going to give you give me one house, I give you 100. And you give me 100, now you're going to have 1,000. Now you give me 1,000, you're going to have 10,000. No. But I'm going to give you places where you can have your abode. If you go there and you teach, you'll have somewhere to stay. You'll have brothers and sisters. But you will have persecution, Mark says, in the 10th chapter, Mark, with persecution. But in the end, everlasting life. But many that are first to be last and last to be first, you're all going to be in the kingdom. But your longevity does not necessarily tell where you're going to be with me. Because if you last and you come in and you do what I need you to do, you can be in the position of first. And those that are last, they can be in the position of first. And the first can be in the position of last. There will be what you're in the kingdom and you're doing my will. That's that passage, saints. God's standard, his nature, and his purpose.